You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we get to learn about CU Ventures. What is CU Ventures? Well, we'll find out in just a moment.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul at csp.edu.
Joining us today, Curtis Gilo. He is CU Ventures Executive Vice President. Curtis, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you, Andy. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Sarah, for having me.
So, Kurt, where did the idea for CU Ventures begin?
Well, you know, it began at CUW, Concordia University, Wisconsin, after I was the founding dean of the pharmacy program over there at Wisconsin. It raised the rigor of all the sciences in our program, and as I moved from there over to Ann Arbor, Michigan, at the behest of President Ferry at the time, I told him as I left that the new pharmacy program was going to start to begin having faculty, staff, and students actually create opportunities, products, ideas that might have commercializability. And recognizing that our universities, all of them, our Concordias, are essentially built on a revenue model of what I describe as a two-legged stool, of the revenue being tuition, which, as we all know, is under discussion at the kitchen table as an expensive, too expensive, and the other leg being philanthropy. And philanthropy is wonderful and sharing God's gifts and stewardship, but it's undependable as it relates to running a university on a revenue model. So we suggested that the third leg to that stool to stabilize the revenue to our Concordias might be to invest in their own. If there were opportunities to take ideas from faculty, staff, and even students and commercialize them, wouldn't it be nice if we could channel money back into the university as a third revenue source? So hence the name CU for Concordia University Ventures, which is the opportunity to find and develop these ideas into something commercializable.
What is your background that helped spurn this idea for you to even suggest something like this? What is your interest in this type of venture for Concordia University?
Well, Sarah, I'm a serial entrepreneur, I suppose, in the sense that I've developed three or four small businesses, grew them to a certain size, and then recognized that I'm not the guy to take them to a larger size. But I am a bootstrap kind of guy who takes an idea and builds it. And that's been my background. I'm a graduate of the St. Louis College of Pharmacy, and my graduate degree is from Washington University in healthcare administration. So healthcare has been my entire background. It's kind of how I got tapped by President Ferry at the time to be the founding dean of the pharmacy school at Concordia. He knew I was a pharmacist. At the time, I was retiring from the state legislature where I'd been a state representative and represented the Concordia area. And he asked me to consult with them about the idea that they might be able to create a pharmacy school. And I told him, yes, you could. It'd be a tough pull, though, for a small school. You're going to need to, as I said, raise the rigor. And the rigor of your sciences is going to create opportunities that you should take advantage of. So that's kind of how this was born. And I'm in this, even at my age of retirement. I retired out of Concordia Ann Arbor at 2020, I guess, 6 years ago. And I'm now still giving back, if you would, to try to get this Concordia Ventures idea off the ground. A concurrent development of something called the Talents Fund, which I'd love to talk about in a minute.
You mentioned that taking ideas from faculty, students, and commercializing those. Now, that I think we need to unpack the word commercialize here, because it might have some connotation, because sometimes we associate that with like holidays. Oh, we've commercialized Christmas too much. I know that's not, it doesn't need to have that negative connotation, because that's,
no, it, it's it, not,
unpack that a little
no,
bit more
No, it's the
for
positive
us.
Connotation mm-hmm. of commercial. Commercializing an idea means that you take that idea and develop it to the point that it is useful either as a commodity, if it's a product, or as a, well, in our case, for instance, the pharmacy school faculty at CUW, two of them took a molecule and worked that molecule into a drug. And now 4 years later, we've been walking that idea along a path of some degree of success. That molecule looks like it has the potential to help women with hot flashes and early onset Alzheimer's disease. We helped them organize a company called Estrogenics. They've applied for NIH grants to help support that company's development. And our angel network, Concordia Angel Network, which was the network of individuals that we put together to help us finance some of these ideas. The way we did that, the school said, basically, it's a good idea, guys, but you got to kind of bootstrap it yourself. So the way that we bootstrapped it was to go around town and find, in this case now, 28 individuals in the Metro Milwaukee, Mequon area who are supportive of Concordia University as a Christian university and who are supportive of entrepreneurs who have small business ideas and want to create them into a larger business, into a successful business. So those Concordia Angels are the ones who actually aggregate to finance these ideas. And what we actually do is find an idea like this molecule that came out of our own pharmacy school and bring them in front of the group of 28 investors and they get to present, like Shark Tank on television, they get to present their idea and why it's a good idea and what they might need to get this idea off the ground. And then the 28, it's number 28 because I can't get them all in the same room at the same time. But if I get half of those, we're lucky. But we present to that group, and then after Q&A, after questions, we dismiss the presenter, and I go around the room saying to the Angel Network, did anybody hear anything they liked? Did anybody believe that what you just heard has commercializability? Could we make something out of this? Could this become a business that ultimately some of the proceeds from this business fall back to Concordia University to support student scholarships, which is what this is all about? We're trying to build that third leg to the two-legged stool. And to do that, we need successful businesses where the university gets a piece of the action when there is success.
Now, you mentioned the Talents Fund. What is the Talents Fund?
Well, what we realized is that in building these businesses through CU Ventures, we now have 11 of them, and all 11 of them are marching down some road to success. There's no fail. The good news is there's no bad news. They're all in some degree of moving towards success. One of those, the estrogenics model that I just talked to you about, is actually under a non-disclosure agreement with a major pharmaceutical company who has a real interest in this. And this could be actually a home run if the pharmaceutical company buys this drug in its early stage development. That could be a huge success for the 11 that CU Ventures is moving along. But how the Talents Fund has come to be is that, as I suggested, they're moving down a line of success, some of them have to come back for more money. Because if you're being successful, you need a little more marketing money. You need to hire an employee. You need to, whatever growth is, requires financing. So they've asked, could they come back? They asked me, could we come back to the Angel Network and ask for more money? And two or three times we've said yes, and two or three times our angels have dug deeper into their pocket and come back with more investment money. But then the light went on for Dr. Sim and I that what we really need is an alternative mechanism to provide larger funding, larger checks, if you would, for these entrepreneurs who are starting these businesses. And we sat and talked about that, and the upshot of that is that we are creating a $50 million venture capital fund, and we have named it the Talents Fund after our Lord's parable in Matthew 25 of the talents, where the Lord gives one man five talents, one man two, and one man one. The man with five, and the Lord comes back in a year and basically says, how'd you do? The guy with five doubled his money, the guy with two doubled the money, but the person with one talent, as you remember, buried the talent. And he gave it back to the Lord and said, I knew you'd want me to protect what you gave me. And the Lord, I think, I can't speak for the Lord, but I think the Lord said, that's not what I gave it to you for. I gave it to you to be a good steward of it, to invest it, to grow it, to use it as a steward of what I'm trying to teach you. So he gave it to the man with five. So the Talents Fund is our recognition that the Lord blesses us all in different ways and wants us to be good stewards of what we've been given, but also to grow it. And so that if we are now in the process of trying to raise $50 million from investors, this will be a quality industrial and institutional grade fund, and we'll meet all the metrics that venture capital funds require. And we have so far raised $6.25 million on our way to 50. And we're already going to invest part of that 6.25 in one of our businesses, one of the 11 Concordia Angel Network business. Now, it's not all, these are two separate things. The Angel Network is different than the Talents Fund. But it doesn't mean that the Talents Fund can't find a jewel in the crown of CU Ventures and invest in it. And in this case, I think our first investment is actually going to come from our own work in CU Ventures. But we're going to look the country. And part of what we want to do here in the Midwest is bridge that gap from good ideas who need money to the West Coast and the East Coast where all the money is. The venture capitalists are in California and in Boston and in New York. They're not in Chicago, they're not in Milwaukee, and they're not in St. Louis. But we'd like to be a source of funding for good ideas that could come to fruition. And then when they come to fruition, our profit in that, as the partner, our profit in that is split half of it back to the Concordia universities in forms of scholarships. Or if we ever get big enough, bold enough, successful enough, maybe even we can build a building.
We're talking with Kurt Gilo. He is Executive Vice President for CU Ventures. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are learning about CU Ventures with Executive Vice President Kurt Gilo. Also joining us in studio now, the Reverend Dr. Jameson Hardy. He serves as President of the Concordia University System. Dr. Hardy, welcome back.
It's great to be back.
Kurt just shared with us the great idea that turned into CU Ventures and then the Talents Fund as well that grew out of that. Why is CU Ventures and the Talents Fund important to you as the president of Concordia University System?
Yeah, it's been a great process where this has come from, and I've seen the Lord's hand. It's just tremendous. You know, the truth of the matter is we have some great talent on our campuses, faculty, students, and to be able to provide financial resources for these ventures. And then, you know, God willing, these ventures take off and then produce some income stream for the universities. This is something that we need to tap into. It's just another one of these opportunities in the CUS where we are trying to find alternative revenue sources outside of tuition, which all higher education needs to focus on, I believe. But we're blessed, specifically at CUW with Kurt and the folks there. It's been a great joy to see how this thing has matured and how the Lord has just continued to open the doors. There's no doubt about it. We have some dedicated folks that are a part of it financially. We certainly could use some more dedicated folks to help bolster the Angel Fund. The Talents Fund. But it's a tremendous blessing. It's also something that I've been involved with in previous parts of my life. Venture capital and stuff. And so I know how it works. And I know for the schools, it can be tremendous. You've met with three or four of the presidents already. And so we've got some tremendous interest. And I think, you know, ultimately for CUS, I see this as nothing but a great blessing, a great opportunity.
What are some of the businesses that have grown out of the Angel Fund, the CU Ventures?
Well, I should clarify the fact that this all started at CUW, and it all started with the idea of the third leg to the two-legged stool, as I just suggested. But it became obvious that CUW alone wouldn't produce enough ideas. Mm. Despite the fact we wanted to tap faculty, staff, and students, it wouldn't alone support enough ideas. Once you aggregate 28 hungry investors, you got to feed them some ideas to invest in. And we couldn't get enough out of just CUW alone. Mm. part of what where I want to go in a minute is to tell you I want to franchise this, as Dr. Hardy has just suggested, to the other Concordia universities. But in our Milwaukee area, we've picked up ideas that if we invest in them, the money is still going to, the profits anyway, are still going to be shared by us to CUW. But some of the ideas now for new businesses have come from a variety of places. And one I would point out is two young boys from Marquette University who love to play basketball against each other, but in different cities, they would take their cell phone and set it on the curb, and on Skype, they would watch each other play horse at basketball. And one brother would chide the other brother, you know, in the game of horse. And then the light went on for these two boys. Look, if we can watch each other on a cell phone, on the size of a cell phone, why can't we blow that cell phone up to the size of a television screen? And why can't we put a hoop on the front of it, a basketball hoop, and put the cameras in the backboard and hook the whole thing up onto the internet? And hence was born the idea of a company called Hoop, H-U-U-P-E, Hoop Incorporated. We, the CU Ventures Angel Network, invested $185,000. We were the first investors in this guy's little business. Today, 3.5 years later, their revenue is $35 million. Wow. Their company has just been valued at $60 million. And they're under discussion with Best Buy, Costco, and a few other big box retailers. Somebody's going to buy that company. And when they buy that company, our six investors who put in $185,000 are going to get some money back. And we, CU Ventures, are going to get a small sliver of that. That small sliver will go to Concordia University, Wisconsin, despite that this is a Marquette, two kids from Marquette who came up with the idea. Now, that's commercializing a good idea and benefiting from it. We would like those ideas to come out of the CUS system, which is why Dr. Hardy's been a wonderful supporter. He's been a wonderful advisor. I actually think, now that I'm in retrospect, I actually think he helped us come up with the Talents Fund, Matthew 25, as the title for this venture. I think if he didn't come up with the idea, he at least agreed with it when we suggested it. But he's
subconsciously, I've been suggesting it for about 30 years.
Yeah. I was gonna say, that sounds like something you'd come up with.
He's been a tremendous support for us. But where I think that this could go is, I think CU Ventures, which is nothing more than us aggregating these angel investors in a geography. I think we could do an angel network in Chicago. I think we could do an angel network in Irvine. I think we might be able to do an angel network in Seward, in St. Paul. You said you had Dr. Dawn on, Russell Dawn on, and this is sponsored by Concordia St. Paul. Today, I would love to franchise that model, if you want to call it that, of an angel network, because the angel network then spins the idea or from it. Once people know that there's an opportunity to be financed at the small level for good ideas, out of that spins bigger ideas and more people start coming to you. I can tell you now that CU Ventures plays much bigger in size than it is, because we're the talk of the town. I mean, we're aggressively going out looking for these things that ultimately build that third leg to the stool. Now, should we have done this 100 years ago? Absolutely. We should have done it a long time ago, because it's going to take time. But like the old adage about a tree, best time to plant it was 20 years ago. Second best time is plant it today. So we're planting it today.
But that's the point, because it's starting to mature. And we're starting to see some movement towards this. You know, the thing, when Kurt and I talked about this probably 2 years ago about branching out into the Talents Fund, I had just been elected president of CUS. And I said to him, why don't we try to capitalize on the other campuses? I mean, look at Irvine, for example. Mm-hmm. Irvine is in the hotbed of medical technologies in Irvine. And they have an engineering component to their school. They have a nursing component on the new campus there at the Spectrum building. They have opportunity not only in the technology and in the brain power. They also have the financing out there with people. And so we've had one meeting already with Michael Thomas. And these are the kind of things, I think the Lord blesses these kind of things in a way that the church, and I think both of you have heard me say this before about the CUS, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And, you know, the biblical standard of using the talents, which the talents funds come from Matthew 25, in both cases where they put the talent to work, Jesus blessed them. In the case where they didn't, he took from them. And that is just my entire theme for the CUS. We are in a position where we are being blessed, and we have got to double down on these things to take advantage of the blessings that God gave us.
Kurt, why is CU Ventures and the Talents Fund important to you personally?
Well, Andy, you know, I gave a speech at commencement at CUAA Ann Arbor when I retired that talked about people's life being divided into chapters. I think the first chapter of your life, obviously, is your early childhood. The last chapter of your life, the Lord writes it, and you don't know when that last chapter in your life, book of life comes. But my life's been divided into multiple chapters. I'm not at the end. The last chapter, God's going to tell me when the last chapter is. But having retired, I'm not ready to retire. I'm not intellectually ready to retire. And God has blessed me physically to still be able to do this at my age. So I want to see. I wish we'd have done this 20 years ago. I wish we'd have done it even when I left Concordia and told Dr. Ferry about it in 2013. But here we are 13 years later. So I'm passionate about this and will stay passionate about this until the Lord calls me home. I just think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And in each of those chapters, you know, when you get to my age, you look back on life and you can see how those chapters were related. You cannot see that going forward. You don't understand leaving one job to another easily. Clearly, but looking back, when I'm 81 years old, looking back on life, you can see how those chapters of your life fit together into God's plan. I think this is my second last chapter, is my guess. Let me tell you that the Talents Fund is trying to raise $50 million from investors. This will be a quality institutional grade fund. And anyone that's interested in the Talents Fund, knowing more about it, receiving our private placement memorandum or prospectus, be happy to talk to them. They can contact me through you.
Dr. Hardy, how does this benefit students, the money, but also being able to come up with these ideas, this opportunity to have their ideas recognized as something that is commercializable?
Yeah, well, this, as he said to you about the Marquette students, this is happening on our college campuses across the country. I think the benefit of the CUS system and in our colleges is you have a group of people that are not all Lutheran necessarily, but are all dedicated to the work that's going on at the CUS campuses. And we see this at CUW. I know a number of the folks that are angel investors, and their heart and their passion is for the work of the university. And I think for the students to know that, I mean, there's plenty of venture capital out there. And there's plenty of funds out there that they know good business opportunities. They put their money into it. They know it's going to return. They do this. We have those same kind of folks, and they're passionate about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I think they'll look out for the benefit and welfare of the students. And then finally, when these companies hit, those small profits and proceeds go back to the university to be used to support church work preparation. And as you know, for me, that is the thing that we have going on. And I just think ultimately, until now, until Kurt's been doing this, we've missed out on an opportunity to double down on the talents God gave us. And this is just an opportunity for us. And I can tell you, the kids that I come in contact with, that we talk to about this, that we promote, hey, listen, reach out to Kurt and those folks if you have a business opportunity, because it's there. It's there. And it's, look, I like to talk about it. The Bible says in the house, you first start in the household of faith. And this is the household of faith. The folks that work with Kurt, the people that are investors, they are part of the household of faith. And there is nothing better than when the household of faith supports each other. So, I mean, that's just, in my opinion, that's where we're at.
I know we have some scholarship update information as well. I want to get to that in just a moment. Before we do that, how do we find out more about CU Ventures?
Well, kurt@kurtgilo.com will give you my email. That's my personal email. Kurt with a C, C-U-R-T, and Gilo is G-I-E-L-O-W, kurt@kurtgilo.com. Send me a note and I'll respond.
Very good.
And we can also, if anybody responds to CUS, we can put them in contact with Kurt. In fact, I think maybe here in the near future, we might put a link on CUS's website, CU Ventures.
Very good. Yeah. All right. Scholarship information. We have just about 2 minutes here.
Very good. Yeah, no, we're excited to announce that CUS will be offering its $5,000 Church Work Direct Cash Scholarship again this year. It will go live on May 1st. We are so blessed. We just found out that we are in an estate trust where we'll be receiving a very large contribution for future distribution, because remember, we only use earnings. We try to stay away from principal. And again, we are absolutely thrilled to be able to announce that we're going to be able to do 20 $5,000 scholarships for each of our Concordias. And then there's various and other categories in our scholarship for people that can apply for different things. And I would just point them to the cus.edu website for that. And please be very, you know, thorough in filling that application out. There are specific monies for handicaps out there. There are specific monies. We just got a brand new allocation from the LCMS BOD for East Coast residents going to a Concordia from the closure of Bronxville. There was proceeds that was given to the Synod. They designated that for CUS scholarships. So we have a chunk of change, some significant dollars for students on the East Coast of the United States and all of the East Coast districts, the English district and the SELC district, to apply. That is a separate pool of money. So it's above and beyond the 100 scholarships. But we really are so thankful that we're able to do this again this year, and the prospect of continuing this and again, growing this is what we're dedicated to. As you know, Dr. Spatel and I have been talking about this for many, many, many months. But yes, we are going live again, May 2026. And that'll be open for 30 days only, 30 days only. And then the students will be notified and the cash will be deposited in their accounts far ahead of the start of school. Last year, we had some hiccups because we were too close to the beginning of school. So we're blessed, we're thankful, and we look forward to, we had 300 students last year apply. I'm sure we're going to get pretty much more than that this year.
CUS.edu. You can find out more information about the scholarships there as well. Our guest today, Kurt Gilo, CU Ventures Executive Vice President. Thank you so much, Kurt, for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Sarah.
The Reverend Dr. Jameson Hardy, President of Concordia University System. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.